obedient and faithful to the spirit of the opening session, I picked up a topic to talk about, of which I know very little, but it's dear in my heart because it intrigues me, and in a sense, it makes me mad because despite its importance, there is so little done in resolving more issues. And this topic is the molecular friction coefficient. It is a piece of knowledge very useful, even in practical applications, because it, if you want to define the processing window in some situation, it's important to know. And people who face industrial problems, many times in consulting, the answer comes like increase the temperature so much or add that much more plasticizer. And also in diffusion, in adhesion, in welding, in cohesion, etc. And the maddening thing is, despite its importance, if you open even the current literature, you realize that whatever it is discussed now is along the lines and the formulations which were put forward half a century ago, and maybe 80 years ago. How do we define the friction coefficient? It's the ratio of the kinetic energy of a molecule, of a moving unit, over the diffusivity of this unit. And the other definitions, when it comes to polymers, you can find it as the ratio of the distance the polymer travels equal to its size over the time it takes it to travel. And if you only want to evaluate the friction coefficient using macroscopic quantities so that you explain them even to somebody who does not understand anything about viscoelasticity, then you give that definition with respect to the viscosity and that definition with respect to the self-diffusion coefficient. What's the use of these equations, these expressions? If you know from the plateau modulus measurements the dependence, for example, when it comes to evaluating the dependence of the friction coefficient on the solvent present, if you know the ME dependence on the plasticizer, and it's an inverse 1 over 2.5, let's say, and the dependence of the viscosity, then because of this dependence on the plasticizer, it's 1 over 4 for a 3.5 power of the molecular weight dependence. You say that the plasticizer the solvent dependence of the friction coefficient, the lubrication effect of the solvent on the friction coefficient, is whatever you find is the dependence of the viscosity divided by the fourth power of the solvent presence. The corresponding recipe for finding the friction coefficient from diffusion measurements in the presence of solvent is to say whatever is the solvent the solvent dependence of the diffusivity multiplied by the 1.875 power of the plasticizer presence. So I get upset when people say here that the friction coefficient, what's the question? Yes? M is the deviations from the 3 power of the molecular weight dependence on the of mu. M is the molecular weight of a monomer of the of size B. Okay. Thanks for asking. So I get exception to the yes, Mike. No, I don't say such a thing. I say that the viscosity is primarily dependent due to the entanglement contribution, and
right, but don't you know how to cross over from
No, not when it comes to macroscopic quantities like the viscosity of a well entangled system. It's not Rouse, it's a semi empirical relationship which, if you make mu equal to 1, ends up exactly to the mu equal to 0, ends up with the Desgenes, the repetition expression for the molecular weight dependence of the viscosity, of the zero shear viscosity. Oh, I don't say such a thing. I try to explain. You open, what I say here is the following thing, that for entangled polymer chains, if you want to know a value for the friction coefficient, you take the viscosity value and you solve it like this for the friction coefficient, for the monomer friction coefficient. That's what I say. And even better, what I say is that when you want to find the plasticizer contribution dependence of the friction coefficient, you divide the friction coefficient in the plasticization state over the one in the melt state, and whatever dependence on plasticization, this is the dependence of the friction coefficient, and it works.
My problem with this approach is that we have a fudge factor for mu,
which is fine. Mu is not a fudge factor.
Maybe it's a correction from our patient model, but it doesn't have a fudge factor for the Rouse, which people actually experimentally very hard to say it's perfectly Rouse. You look at the spectrum of the patient. It's not pure Rouse between your monomer and tau e. And this is
it. Michael, this has nothing to do with the Rouse behavior. I could have expressed this in terms of Rouse relaxation time. I don't even use the relaxation time expression. I say that the molecular weight, the dependence of the viscosity on the molecular, if you solve this for the viscosity and you bring everything the other side, it's something you wouldn't have questions about. It says that the melt viscosity depends on a pre-factor.
Well, my question is, if I set n equal to mu there,
yes,
I'm supposed to cross over to, and I'm getting a mu square dependence, if you get about your mu factor. I'm getting, this thing assumes that you're going from a mu down, you're following the Rouse line. You're crossing over from
I'm not crossing. I'm saying that after you integrate and you forget any relaxation, short time relaxations, it's what that's what you get plus some contribution from higher. Well, we can discuss later. I'm very confident about these things. I get exception to the fact that people here say that the friction coefficient is just one parameter. It's not. Only the temperature dependence, which is one of the most important dependences of this parameter, needs three additional adjustable parameters. Not to mention that we are interested in knowing how the friction coefficient depends on the polymer species, that is their chemistry, their microstructure, their rigidity. When it is mixed with other things like solvent or other polymers, we want to know how it behaves. Is the failure of the time-temperature superposition in the presence of long branches an outcome of a friction coefficient dependence on branching, and it is puzzling why the friction coefficient does not depend on the shear rate and the degree of entanglement, if indeed it doesn't. Anyway, what is the 50-year-old, not to mention knowledge on the dependence on friction coefficient on physics? What is known is that the friction coefficient has an exponential dependence on the volume of the flowing unit, no matter how big or small this is, over the free volume available for flow. That's a simplified way of explaining the Cohen-Turnbull theory. And if we forget prefactors and make the assumption that approximately the occupied volume is equal to the specific volume, then we end up with the exponential dependence from the inverse of the free volume fraction. So if you want to find the jump from one value of the friction coefficient to another, you have to do this exponential division. But part of the primitivism is that it lies on the fact that all these hand-waving arguments about free volume and moving volume and stuff like that, there hasn't been any reasonable attempt to relate them with thermodynamic quantities. And I'm going to explain right away what I mean with this. Because and one way to do that is to couple the free volume quantities with an equation of state parameters. And before I read attempts made like this, and of course keeping in mind that our base state when it comes to polymers, that is the glassy state, is a kinetically controlled state. So there is a big problem in that respect. So before I read that attempts like that had been done recently in a simple liquid fluids, I scribbled a few things down a couple of years ago. What if we were to jump from free volume nomenclature into an equation of state nomenclature, realizing, and let's start with the van der Waals equation, which says that the pressure plus a cohesive energy term minus the specific volume minus the occupied, the excluded volume term is equal to the kinetic energy. Realizing that this quantity here is not exactly equal to the free volume, but it has a relationship. You can play with this equation and the definition of the free volume, and you can end up with an expression like this, which says that the friction coefficient depends on the pressure, the density, and the temperature this way. And I wasn't surprised when recently I read that at McGill people had very good results in correlating diffusion data for simple liquids with an attempt similar to that, only that their parameters A and B were temperature and pressure dependent. My question, since this is a question session, is why can't something like this happen to the polymer world also? It would resolve in a more scientific way, the way things go now, the problem of pressure and temperature dependence of viscoelasticity and rheology and polymer dynamics, etc. It would make freer the circulation of information and ideas between thermodynamics, polymer dynamics, and rheology. And since for the thermodynamic equations of state, there are answers for handling solution cases and the mixture cases much better than the free volume case, it would also resolve aspects of plasticization and polymer blending. We don't forget that the base case in our situation of polymers is kinetically controlled. So either you have to have an equation of state which sort of predicts the glass transition temperature, and that's a dream of the future, or at least in a way have a cutoff point where you say that my equation of state stops here. And also there is another problem which I wasn't aware of until recently, that you have to be sure that the free volume fraction, and therefore the friction coefficient of which it depends, it is uniquely defined from the density of a given polymer state. In other words, we have the same free volume fraction for the same density, no matter which pair of temperature and pressure conditions helped create this density state. And there are many indications that this is not true, and that density state, equal density states which were created by higher pressures and temperatures have lesser free volume than equal density states which are created with less pressure and less temperature. Well, those are dreams of the future. What is known so far, half a century old story for polymer people, is that the friction coefficient dependence on temperature is given by this expression, the WLF expression. If you play with a simple algebra by adding and subtracting this term here, you end up that you realize pretty soon that this is equal, identical to the Vogel dependence on temperature. It is embarrassing to say things that that people knew from time immemorial among the audience, people among the audience, but for me some of these were new. And what is the brief record of attempts to relate the parameters involved with the microstructure? The first attempt is that these are universal, and that the only dependence of the friction coefficient on temperature comes from the difference of temperature from the gas transition temperature. And there is a truth, a partial truth to this. If you take a family of polymers where they have controlled changes in the microstructure, like the excellent series of different series of polybutadienes with different vinyl contact, Gressley and Carella, for example, tried in the 80s, you see that this is true, that you can use the same FG and compressibility and free volume expansion, temperature expansion coefficient, just, and you can have the shift factors consistent with the reality just by playing with the difference of these materials, just by having the TG as the only parameter. Then Boyer said that, you know something, the free volume expansion coefficient is actually the difference between the liquid and the gas and the glass state, and that's a first attempt to introduce the equation of state concepts, and that this is approximately 1/9. Well, there is not that much truth to it if you put reality down. Something a little more closer to reality is that the Vogel temperature, it's approximately 80% of the glass transition temperature, and which means that if you take the derivative of the WLF equation and you plug this approximation at different temperatures, it means that we can talk about the temperature-dependent activation energy, which is given by these expressions at different distances from the glass transition temperature. And if you plug this approximation, it comes out to be that at these different distances from the glass transition temperature, what matters is the ratio of the glass transition temperature over the free volume fraction of the glass transition temperature. And you can even express the fragility as a combination of the glass transition temperature and the constants of the WLF equation. And with this approximation, you end up that the fragility is approximately the fifth of the free volume fraction at the glass transition temperature, which means that the less free volume you have, the more fragile your system, which makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Are you talking about this one?
Yeah, from different polynomials.
Yeah, I shot that. I shot that down before I went to the next line. I thought it was clear that I said that this doesn't work, and the next line works a little better. So, I recently published an attempt to correlate that after I realized of the that is a myth that the free volume fraction coefficient, free volume fraction of the glass transition temperature, that is the inverse fragility is a universal value. I tried to correlate the friction coefficient at an equivalent thermal state of different polymers with their microstructure the following way. Of course, inspiration to this is the renewed attempt to do explanations like this, renewed because it has been tried 40 years ago by Privalko and Boyer and etc. And what I say here is, look, you guys, the friction coefficient at a given thermal state, let's say Tg, let's say that it is given by the Stokes type of an equation, where B is the moving unit, is the base for this, and this viscosity represents the resistance to motion by the surrounding Bs, the surrounding monomers, into quotes. Let's say that this viscosity is given by the inverse exponential dependence on the free volume fraction at this thermal state I'm talking about. That's by analogy from what we have already said for the general friction coefficient. And let's say that this free volume fraction at the given thermal state, the glassy one, is given by the maximum packing capacity this system can reach, which is a molecular weight of the monomer of that B unit over this and the density. And for several systems, this comes out to be approximately 3/4 times the Flory constant to the square root for the B, to the 1.5 power, that is. And this makes physical sense, since it says, that in essence, that the packing capacity at the given thermal state, the glassy one in this case, is inversely proportional. It's that the free volume fraction increases, the more the spacing filling economy goes down, which goes down whenever you increase the chain rigidity. It's like trying to pack less and less flexible tubes, let's say, in the same volume. You get a lesser space economy. Yes. Are you talking about this? The macroscopic viscosity at the glass transition is, if you take this as it comes from this and you plug it in the equation which Michael had objections with.
The answer is yes or no.
I haven't done it.
Is it infinite?
I can answer it tomorrow. The viscosity is not infinite. No, it is, according to this primitive picture, it's infinite at the T infinity. That is, at the Tg minus the Fg over the alpha g. Okay? Oh, minus, yes. So, I did find reasonable data which does, if you put everything together, you end up with an expression for the friction coefficient of the Tg, which is given by this mixture of rigidity factors and the bond length, which is for all flexible polymers 1.5 angstroms. And for several of the materials picked up from Ferry's book, there is a reasonable correlation like this, which actually becomes simpler and more connected to fragility if you forget that B prefactor here. But this is not central to this point here. Plasticization and its effect on viscosity on everything. Yes, 5 minutes. I think I can do it. Ratio of friction coefficients is given by the ratio of diffusivities and molecular weights between entanglements. The current understanding for ME dependence on phi is this, where nu is the dependence, is the one over fractal dimension of a radius of gyration, of the end-to-end distance. The same contribution plasticizer contribution to the diffusivity is this. If you play with these three things, you end up with the friction coefficient as a function of volume fraction of polymer in a solvent polymer system. It's a first power dependent in a theta solvent and a square root dependent on the good solvent. And the theta solvent dependence, as it has already mentioned today, it's always wrong in situations like that. The good solvent, the good solvent dependence, it comes closer to the reality. A mean field approach to the same problem gives the same square root dependence on the polymer volume fraction. Now, looking at the data, is that x power dependence of the shift factor for the plasticizer contribution universal? The answer is no. Is it ever zero? Very often it is, because the viscosity dependence in a tangled system goes like the fourth power of the plasticizer content, and which means that leaves the AC, the shift factor for the plasticizer, with a power of zero. Is there any contradiction to this? Yes, because the current understanding is that you find the shift factor of the friction coefficient as a product of the time factor and the plasticizer factor. But if this is true, the plasticizer presence should also affect the TG and thus the shift factor of the temperature contribution. If you equalize this reality and the reality of the shift factor for the friction coefficient being a power of phi to the x power, then you end up with an expression for the glass transition to coefficient, the glass transition temperature in the presence of plasticizer, which is not the same like the acknowledged knowledge for the moment. And now, the last topic I have to touch is the friction coefficient in the presence of heteropolymer blending, something which almost everybody here has worked. Tim has done a humongous work on this. Julia Confing, who was here until yesterday, did. MacLeish and Lodge have published a paper together, et cetera, et cetera. What is the current knowledge based on phenomenology? That when you mix two components with dissimilar glass transition temperature, you end up with a friction coefficient in a blend, in the blend, which is of course different than the one in the melt, and different than the one it had, and that these two friction coefficients are dissimilar between them. That is, the two polymers experience different free volume environment. And what is needed, it's a free volume additivity. What one needs is an additivity rule for the friction coefficient in the presence of blending. Or better, as Wu did 15 years ago, and Lodge has a continuing effort in this. Or maybe it's better, since it goes to a little more fundamental root of the problem, is an additivity rule for the free volume fraction of a blend. Following such an approach, like the second, I think, I came up with an intermediate result, which I haven't published yet, but it's, I consider it beautiful enough to present it here, that it gives that the friction coefficient of a polymer in the blend with that of its pure precursor is given by this expression. Of course, what extracting friction coefficient in blends, one has always to keep in mind, that it is in the presence of a big difference of glass transition temperatures between the two components, one can run out of free volume for the high glass transition temperature component. And so the free volume additivity doesn't play very well. And that one has to properly evaluate the Z from for the component in the blend by exterminating vertical shifts, and that there are there may be concentration fluctuation for which we have a wholly different ball game, and that there is phase separation sometimes present, in which case we have to worry about four, not two, friction coefficients, one for each phase, two for each phase of the two phases, since we have two phases with two components of the similar composition each, defined by the thermodynamics of equilibrium, if there is equilibrium. Thank you.